This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Oh, Jesus, we adore thee upon the cross, our King. We bow our hearts before thee. Thy gracious name we sing. That name hath brought salvation. That name in life our stay. It's our peace, our consolation. When life shall fade away, the power of Jesus' name. The second, 672. But when I took him at his word, forgiving him, he lifted me. And went from my guilt and grief, forlorn, he, in love, he lifted me. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. And now if I were to use one hymn for tonight's study, it would be "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." That is tonight, "The Power of Jesus' Name," 218. Hold it just a bit so we can find it. 218, thank you. Let's remain standing for prayer. The scripture says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and at that name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we do invite you, Father, to meet with us tonight and cause us, our hearts, to understand. Although we can't understand miracles, but we read about them and we ask tonight, may we see the miracle of the new birth. And as we're thinking rather strongly about Saturday, we're asking, Father, that you would guide our thinking tonight and as we talk about it a bit, and that you will cause our hearts to pray. And so we pray you'd look upon us, bless us together. Thank you for the opportunity to praise our blessed Lord Jesus in the singing of these hymns. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do have some more hymns, but I think at the moment we'll hold it there. I want to read some scripture. Then we have one missionary letter to read. And so, first then, will you go back with me to the second chapter of Acts? Now, I hope you haven't gotten to the place where you think that perhaps you don't need any further word. I heard it. I don't need any more instruction. But I tell you, I believe Acts 2, verses 41 to the end, is showing us the ideal of what a true church is. We need to judge ourselves. This is God's way of saying to us in Acts 2, and as we operate in the name of our Lord Jesus, we need to see that there's a pattern for us. This was a time when the Spirit of God came and made residence, especially in the heart of those who are believers. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a miraculous thing. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's continue on. And now, Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes onto him, and him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Fourth chapter. And I want to start to read at verse 5. You'll see it all connects about the power of Jesus' name, the fourth chapter of Acts. Verse 5. It came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and the scribes and Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, that is the man that was healed, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by which means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now you can see all three of those passages fit together, I hope. Acts 2, 3, and 4, and missing a lot of other things under it. But in this fourth chapter we read, verse 12, that is the verse we just sang about. That is, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Verse 12 says, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I tell you, friends, we know that salvation comes by faith through the Lord Jesus. But I want to say something to you. Does it ever puzzle you when you say, now you got to preach repentance? The repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you must do. But then if you're theologically lined up, you'd say, yeah, okay, but I go to a viewing and there's a dead man there. He's not going to listen to me. Dead people can't do anything spiritually. It's kind of foolish theologically, preacher, to think that you can tell a lost person dead in trespasses and sin that he needs to turn his life around and trust Jesus Christ. And so you get puzzled theologically. But when you read these passages in this book, and as we've also saw that God opens hearts and eyes. And when you see that it is God who is a God of salvation, and when you see that God has commanded us to do these things, and he has the power, and he's the one who gives the miracles, and people can be saved, and he does it all. But we have the responsibility to warn people and give the gospel. We need to give the law and the gospel. You say, well, I know that. Well, I can venture that some folk of Reformed faith have a little problem with that. But if you see what God has said, and it is God who gives the miracle. You know, when the Lord said, you know, when I'm gone, there's going to be greater things to do. It'll be done than when I'm here, as I'm with you. And Lord, there's 3,000 there in Pentecost. And where is this? Chapter 4, wasn't there 5,000 here? That's third chapter. I'm going to get the fourth chapter. Anyway, notice fourth chapter in verse 4. It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, And the number of the men was about 5,000. So we're getting up there around 5 and 3 is 8. We're getting up close to 1,000 people got converted. And how was it done? It was done by the power of the Spirit of God that took the Word of God, and men were saved miraculously. It took a miracle to save my soul. Don't think that you're the hot shot and that it's all dependent upon what you do. It's God who's a God of salvation. And he says, I want you to obey me. You don't have to know everything to obey. He said, I want you to go and talk to people about Jesus Christ and give the gospel, which is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and show them about the Lord. Give them the law. You know, this matter of the law, it's very important, because this generation, this culture doesn't believe. They're actually anti-law when it comes especially religion and morality. I don't want to talk about the matter of the law of the courts and the land. I don't want to talk about that. But I do believe that you need to see that there's anti-authority that's just rampant in this country of ours. What do you mean, anti-authority? Well, if you say, you know what's wrong to do that? And he said, now, wait a minute. Why would you tell me what's wrong? I believe, and they've been taught this educationally, I believe that I can determine what's right for me. And I'm told that I'd be true to myself. And so don't put it on me, what you believe. I believe that what's ever right for me is right. Well, where in the world do you get that kind of teaching? That's humanism. That's what young folk are being taught. That's your school system. Pay your taxes, by the way. We'll have to do that. We do. But that's just the way the school systems are that way. Ask any teacher and say, come on now. Can you speak about Jesus Christ? No, sir. Well, you say, I know that, preacher. Well, just so you know, doesn't mean you know everything, do you? You can talk about other religions, but you dare not mention the name of Jesus. You can't pray in his name. Almost everywhere you go, they don't say, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. Anti-authority. No, and you know, it's just dumbfounding to me as far as morality. You're not going to tell people what to do. They've been taught it's my business and I'll do what I want to do. But we're to give the Word of God. I was thinking, I'm not sure yet what I'm going to be preaching on Saturday at our open-air meeting in the street there in Matoursville from 9 to 4, whatever it is. But I do think that that to preach on the commandments has a place. The law and the gospel. Now, you have to put both of them together. Some people just preach the law, the law, the law, the law. Preach Christ. I can say it's this wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. But if it's like when the Word of God is given and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and draws conviction upon them, and there is Holy Spirit conviction, it's like when going out here at night when it's a new moon, you look up at the sky and it's dark, you can't hardly see anything except you see the mall lights. But where some areas, in Pennsylvania, they have a place where they do astronomy up here. I should know where it is. It's up near Wellsboro, somewhere up in there. It's one of the dark areas where no lights are around. And they go up there with their telescopes and they look. When it's very, very dark, stars are so beautiful. And if we preach the Word of God that God has said, this is the Word of God, this is the authority of Jesus Christ and his name, this is what he commands, and if you don't know him, you're under his condemnation, his wrath, and then talk about Jesus. Gotta have them both. Some people, they say, well, I told them that they should do this and straighten up. Do you talk about the gospel? I've said that again and again to people in this pulpit. Talk about the gospel. You know, we can talk about these other things, the commandments and so forth, but talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done. Talk about Jesus and for power. It's the power of Jesus Christ, his Spirit. It's not magical, it's miracle. I want to lay that upon you that here's this story about Peter and John, and they've gone up to worship, and there's this man who's lame for 40 years, and wow, he's asked for alms, and he said, I can't give you silver and gold, but in the name of Jesus, stand up, rise up. What a miracle. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to rise and walk. And the people just marveled. And now I know that he was physically healed, but the Bible speaks the same thing for spiritual healing. I'm asking you to consider and pray that there's an absolute binding authority. It comes from Jesus Christ and the precious word. You know, this business of an open-air meeting, I was talking to Brother Rook. In fact, I invited him because he'll tell you very rapidly, hey, I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times. Did you? Oh, yeah, well, I haven't done it hundreds and hundreds of times, but he went to a Bible school, and I went to school, but my work prevented me from doing a lot of this, but I did do some. But street meetings is something that Raymond Rook has done in Milton, Northumberland, Danville, and other places in New York State. And I told him about it, and he said, well, I'd like to come. So he may come, and you'll see a pro then for street meeting. But I'm not so sure at the street meetings I attended that they had a sermon. And I just didn't think that the people were walking. And if you point one, point two, point three, they might get a point somewhere. That's good. That's fine. I'm not criticizing that. But I think it has to be short. Well, at least that particular area to be short, and then maybe go on to another area. But to try to preach a whole 30, 40-minute message at an outdoor meeting doesn't make much sense to me. Does it make sense to you? You don't have the connection, introduction, point one, point two, point three, conclusion. We've got to take passages that are short and right to the point and give it forth. One fellow said to me, he said, what do you need a riser for? We never used risers. And I said, well, I've got to tell you something. One thing, if you're a little higher, you can speak it, and the voice goes out further. And also, people can see that there's somebody doing something. And so we have a riser, and it's substantial. And I hope we can fix something up with a pillowcase, ladies, and put on there something like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so people know that it's not some Republican or some Democrat, or shall I say, some Tea Party person, which I'm not criticizing. We're here in the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, friends, you can say what you want to. If you're of the idea that we only need to preach Christ inside of a four-wall place, then you don't know what your master did when he was here. He preached out in the open most of the time. And I think that if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus, in spite of what there may be some who will object to it. And by the way, hecklers aren't necessarily awful people. Well, have you ever been heckled? Yep, I've been heckled inside of a church. They did things like shining a mirror in my face and making faces and everything else. I know a little bit about heckling. And hey, listen, I think there's some advantage. If you get in a little discussion with a heckler, I wouldn't spend very much time with him and say, hey, Brother Bill, you go over and talk to him. I want to continue what I'm preaching on here. Well, okay, but the people may listen. Somebody ask a good question and say, hey, that's a good question to ask the preacher there, that person. Let's see what he says. It isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it can get out of hand. And we don't want to get out of hand. We want the Word of God. We want the name of Jesus proclaimed and expecting that God will do miracles. You know, I got to the place where people don't bother me that much. You may be sophisticated and you may be educated and you may be dirty and you may be filthy and you may be a druggie, you may be an alcoholic or promiscuous. Hey, listen, where there's life, there's hope. I say that to you grandparents. Some of us really want to see our grandkids get saved, some of the children get saved. Listen, where there's life, there's hope. Don't give up. Let's keep praying. God will, as he did a miracle in your life, he can do a miracle in your children's life and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Let's continue to pray. Don't give. You know, I was reading about Dr. Lawball. He was down in Benton area. I forgot his first name. What's Mr. Charles, was it? Lawball? Worldwide. He shouldn't have. He's gone. But He was a preacher, and originally in a Reformed church, but it became United Church of Christ. And he has written books on prayer. And I was talking to one of his kinfolk at the mall a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about him. I can't think of his first name, but he lived in from Benton towards Bloomsburg, Stillwater, in that area. But he, in prayer, I want to say this because we're going to go to prayer. In prayer, he believed that you could pray in thought for people. You never knew him. He said, he did this, his theory was, each one teach one. That's his philosophy. Each person teach another person. That was his philosophy. Brother Warren Gray said, he hopes to come. He said, I like to on one-on-one talk to people. One-on-one. Each one teach one. And it's amazing what God can do. From your heart, you speak to him about the Lord Jesus and in his name. I think that we ought to dedicate our meetings more, in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. That's not just saying some words. Say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In their name, that is the power. Power is in the name. And the Word of God is his powerful word. Anyway, I was saying about Dr. Lovell, he believed in prayer. He wrote a couple books on prayer. And that is thought praying, I think, is what he was emphasizing. You see a person, you pray for him. You say, I don't know who that was. Well, do you need to know who that was? Well, I don't see how I can be of any importance for me to pray that person. I don't even know what they are. And they're walking away. We're not even talking. And I lift a prayer up for that person. He said he did that all the time. And that does make some sense. So, well, I don't know who that is. Well, do you need to know who it is? And you say, Lord God, there's a person. I desire that they might come to know Christ the Savior. And to be praying for people while you're walking around in the stores and you see people and you can smile and you don't have to talk to them, but if you do, talk to them about the Lord. Now, getting back to this open-air street meeting, I want to emphasize it a little bit here tonight. The business of passing tracts, I think that's very important, even while they're preaching. I hope to be able to have some kind of identification. Hi, my name is Bill. And so people can say, who's with this bunch? And they got some kind of identification. I think it'd be nice if we had one of those little jackets like they wear in the store. What do they call those things? Little vest. It'd be nice if we could have some vest, because you say, oh, he's with that. Oh, yeah. So is that person there. Oh, yeah. There's quite a few of those people around here, aren't they? And they're with that that preaching up there. You know, there's power in numbers, I can tell you that. And another thing, no sunglasses. No sunglasses. You say, well, I can't stand it. Well, you just have to endure it for the name of Christ. Because when you hide behind sunglasses, it shows you're not open. Let's be open about everything. And you say, well, I don't know what that makes a difference. Let's be open about everything. We're here in the name of Christ. We're preaching Christ. We're giving out literature. We're giving out cassettes free and CDs. We have tables. We need people there to at the tables. We need to have cordiality and friendship. We need to have some kind of identification. For in unity, there's strength. If somebody says, "Where are you people from? What do you do? This?" You say, "Well, we're from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church down below the mall." Where is your church? You ought to be able to have a booklet or something that has some directions, because some people may want to know. You know, don't think that this is all man-centered. Oh, we're going to go up there and we're going to do a real job. Listen, if God isn't in it, forget about it. If God's in this, it's strange what he might do. He might miraculously bring about salvation to people, and you say, and they'll want to maybe come and learn more about the Lord. Don't be surprised what God can do. Look at this. I'm surprised to read 4,000 or 5,000, 3,000. Read this, the Holy Spirit working. You'll say, well, he's not doing that now. hey, if he's in control and you do believe that, if he's slower about saving people and not in this way, don't you question the power of God. There's power in his name. And I just want to emphasize to you that it's a miracle to be saved, and we're dealing with spiritual salvation. We want it to be Christ-centered, not Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. I believe that honor, you give honor where honor's due. Somebody asked about it, but that's not our, we're not trying to do it really for the church, but the church is, God says, my glory is in the church. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to say where you're from if you believe those scriptures I read to you there in Acts 2. And if we have God's presence, that's what we need. You need to pray. And you say, well, I'm not going to be there. Would you pray? Would you ask during the day that the Lord, you say, well, I don't know what prayer does. God has chosen that we do pray. And if you say, well, they'll be fine. They got it all down. No, I don't have it all down. And neither does anybody else have it all down. We're going to be there in the name of Christ, and we're going to present Christ, and we're going to give literature and booklets and CDs and cassettes and preaching. I wish that we could have, keep the preaching going. I was talking to Leonard yesterday, and he said, I'd like to come. He's been a preacher, Leonard Capuzzi. He's planning to come, I believe. But don't depend that we're going to have plenty of preachers. We're losing one good one. He's gone to Harrisburg, and he needs to be prayed for, and he needs a family at a convention. Rick, we'll miss you, because I have pictures of Rick preaching out there behind Wegmans. While we're talking about that, let me just jump here a little bit. By the way, my computer, in my email, I haven't erased them, and things are all scribbled up in my email. And Brother Rick, I had to look back in 2007 or something for this email from you. Usually it's chronological, but because I haven't taken care of my email properly, I guess the outfit said we'll just scramble them for the old boy. Maybe he'll get at it one of these days. But here's two of the email for a local church, PA. And Brother Rick sent this to a few of us from Jamie and Francis. And he says this, hi, everyone. Hi, Rick. I just want to thank you. This has to do with I'm talking to you now contextually about our open air meeting at Matoursville. Hi, Rick. I just want to thank you and the rest of Sovereign Grace for your prayers on my job search. I started a new job about 10 days ago. This was Monday, last Monday. I'm working for Direct Buy Furniture Company. I will be a telephone rep, kind of like I was before on my past job at AT&T. Right now, my job is to create leads for the company. I go in usually at 1:45 to 9:15. I think I have that right, Rick. And about 35 hours a week for now. Praise God. Thank you. Thanks for thinking about me. And tell the rest of the church I'll be praying for their efforts on Saturday. I wish I could be there. Please say hi to Bill and everyone else for me. Thanks, Rick, and God bless. So there's from Jamie about the open air meeting at Matoursville. Now, Brother Bob made a statement I thought was good. When you preach to some solid wall, that it can bounce off and it can enhance the sound, and there's something to that. If the wind's coming down from Laurel Sock Creek, it'd be better if we could preach with preach with the wind, not against the wind, so their voice goes out. Little things like that, I think, are important, so that the gospel goes out. Now, I don't think that we should scream and carry on. I don't think that's the way to do it, but speak up and speak from down here. Not way up here, but down here. And it'll carry out. I just think that people will say, what? I never saw anything quite like this. I fairly believe that as the Missoula Police Department is in charge of this for its DARE. That's drug addict, some kind of instruction for young folk. I wish I knew how to, what is it? Anybody give me what D-A-R-E means?
Drug awareness.
Yes. But it's to prevent young people from getting involved in drugs. And that's, what do we pay, Bob? 15 bucks or 25? That goes towards the DARE for those instruction for young folk. So it's a good war cause. I hope that we don't have distraction towards from the post office to towards the creek. I thought they had a tent there for some singing and so forth up there last year. Did we? Did they? Oh, they were going down towards Muncie.
Yeah.
Was there anything going the other way? Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, we can... That's good. This passage here in the fourth chapter of Acts, that's a marvelous, encouraging chapter when it comes to the matter of the power of Jesus' name. And friend, don't expect me to tell you precisely how it is, but I just want to say to you that they wanted to shut down the preachers here, Peter and John, and these big shots from the, and they were the Sanhedrin, and they were the authorities. And they wanted to shut down no more of this preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, but in verse 7 of the fourth chapter, when they gathered together, verse 6, when they had set them in the midst, that is Peter and John, and apparently this man, 40-year-old man, has been healed. They said, by what power or by what name? I'm looking at verse 7 of the fourth chapter. Have you done this? They couldn't deny it. Now, I said Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Guest. That's what we need, friends. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I wish you'd pray and to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what it means to be Spirit-filled. It means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, verse 8, he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to an impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name, I think that's just marvelous, friend. It's the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, and there's the putting on him, it's the law. You've broken the law, you killed him. And I think that we need to give forth the law of God if you want people to be saved. It's not very popular. It's nice to say just nice things and platitudes and nice little stories, but people need to have the law of God. And the darker you can make it, the brighter the Lord Jesus will be. But anyway, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Now that's a startling thing. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That is, he's whole physically. And then he said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, the speaking of our Lord Jesus. And then verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the only way. It's the only name, the name of Jesus. And it is so sweet. And and so they saw the boldness. That's what we need. We need courage and strength as we labor for the Lord on Saturday. We need, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's what we need. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say nothing. They against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council and confer upon themselves, among themselves, what are we going to do about these men? For that indeed, a notable, notice what they said, they knew it, is a miracle has been done by them. It is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And you cannot deny. And if I may jump back to Acts 2, isn't it marvelous that verse 47 is there, friends? You say, well, you talked about the results of the apostolic church, the New Testament church, and function as they did in prayer, and the matter of preaching the word of God, and the matter of sharing for with those who had need, the matter of having the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and those identifications of an early church, New Testament church. Now notice, verse 47 of Acts 2, that's marvelous. The people were praising God, and they're praising the Lord, and they had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Last year, Brother Alexander was preaching, and one lady went past, and she's listening to him, and she said to me, she said, "He's a man of God." Now, isn't that something? She never met him. She did. He was from out west. She said, "I can tell you that he's a man of God." You see the prayer of chapter 3 of Acts. Peter and John went up together into a temple in the hour of prayer. It's being the ninth hour. And there's this lame man, 40 years of age. And what a pity it was. And to think that in verse 6 was the solution. He said, "We can't give you silver and gold." He said, "We don't have it. But such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You say, "Well, it sounds like charismatic Pentecostal." Hey, forget it. They don't go to that Acts 2 church. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in much of the Bible. They're just interested in basically making money, getting money, and making a noise about so-called the gifts and so forth. And we're not talking about that. An absolute miracle, and that's what your salvation is. It's absolute miracle. And you say, "Well, I believe the Lord says." Well, then will you do this? Will you take these scriptures, and as we preach the law and the gospel and give forth the name of Jesus, that God will be pleased to work in the outdoor meeting at Matoursville. As I was trying to say, that may be the best spot in the whole street fair where they placed us. And so I'm asking you tonight to consider this matter of Saturday. We do need help. We don't have it all ready yet either. All right. For God's presence, Christ-centered, and have prayer, and that we have life, spiritual life, and that people will be encouraged, and you folk will be encouraged too.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.